All right. Walk to work. I think that's an Isaiah thing. Oh no, I put all those incomprehensible things into the Isaiah bucket. We're studying Isaiah for a few weeks. Anyway, not for a walk. They got their dog on a leash. They do. Good. Let me take a turn with you. Apparently, Brenda got a new vehicle. Toyota 4Runner. She said it had already had 230,000 miles on it. What decent care. Can go a bit further. Oh, she got it for 4,500. Even if it just goes for a little while longer. That might be sufficient. She doesn't take it on big adventures. It might serve her really well. She's not planning on coming to see this until maybe Thanksgiving. And I give enough time for it to kind of, for her to get good and familiar with it. I always feel a little safer about cars and their well, I've had them for a little while. Ooh, that's a worm. I didn't need him. My first name was Mode. Oh. Anyway. Have one of those cars you can just turn on remotely. Those cars spring to life. Sam's going off to the temple today. Always a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful service that he does. We were talking earlier in the, I don't know, Thursday night or Friday morning or something, and talking about he's excited to get back into the military. He really wanted to go back into the Air Force again, but the Air Force is kind of picky and they don't take a lot of exceptions. Now the Army and the Navy are always under some pressure because if they can't meet their recruitment goals, they've got troubles. So they are likely to give him an exemption. So he might very well be going into the military soon. Like I told him, I said, your call stands up to 24 months. I said, that means anything between now and 24 months is they might decide that it's okay for you to go back into the military. He needs to get back into shape. He needs to lose some weight and stuff like that, so it's not like an immediate thing. But it's something he's looking forward to. Caleb's up at Camp Hill Village, Minnesota. Apparently he's doing a lot of cooking. We've got him cooking. And he's getting into that. And he's a good guy. And all my children are good people. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for their hearts and the way that they are. And I gotta be careful. There's all kinds of little buggies on this purse lane. I think it's because it's also getting ready to go to seed. I can see the seed pods. Which are wonderful. I don't mind getting a bumper crop of purse lane. Just if I'm not doing a good job of keeping an eye on it, I'll end up eating a few buggies too. Anyway, so. See, we talked about Brangelina already. Josh and Alejandra are further afield and doing their things. I guess we think we don't worry so much about them. They are on the road doing the things they should be doing. need to make sure that, here's an affidavit letter that Lisa put together talking about their marriage, because it's very much an immigration question. If she's just making like they're married, and Lisa's there to give an affidavit that they are married and doing what married people do and very happy with their circumstances together, very much going forward with life. And so that's doing great. Every once in a while, Lisa and I talk about Shayna, our oldest. Who has found ways to not be a part of our lives at all, but be able to virtue signal doing it, which is always, I think it's always been kind of important to her that she look good. She's keeping up a Facebook page that she hadn't banned me from. And because there was things that she was saying about her past. And you see this a ton on Facebook. It seems to be, it's the normal virtue signal. I came from a tough family, but yet I persevere, and everybody crowds around. And, cheers you on, tells you how wonderful you are. I don't know if that's her reasoning. I have no idea, but it makes some sense, I suppose. Except that it's dishonest. She was talking about the evil wickedness of dumpster diving and stuff like that. And she said that her parents had done that, and how embarrassed she was by her parents having to do that, and how much more wonderful it would be to come up with better ways besides soup kitchens and food lines, stuff like that. And of course, I said, you never wanted for anything in all your life. And no, we did not go dumpster diving. That wasn't necessary. And you did not suffer. And made her pretty upset that she was getting called on these things. So I'm reasonably sure she just made it so that I couldn't see her anymore. Her choice, but it makes you wonder about all these people who kind of do a lot of virtue signaling on social media, whether you can really take it at face value or not. Well, we should treat it like a kind of poverty. And just give people what they ask for. The scriptures are quite poignant about that. Don't get weird. If somebody has their hand out, give them something. But if that also shouldn't just apply to social media too, although I make a big separation between parenting and just being kind of a random stranger. And they go, boy, you're so much more generous to random strangers. And I go, I am. And you go, why is that? He says, well, that's not true. I have given very generously to my children over the years, as they've needed it. Some haven't needed much at all, so they haven't gotten much. But others, I've given to a lot. Shayna got a lot. Caleb's gotten quite a bit. Sam, not so much so. Bryn, Jelaine, and Josh. Never really asked for much. Which is great, fine. You know, I don't measure love by how much I can, I give you. Oh, that's it. The same fella always starts to turn into me when I'm here on 11th Street. And then I see up here, there's kind of a manhole and it's not very smooth, the road, and it's got some pothole action kind of around it. So what he's doing is he's swerving to get away from the pothole. So he's not being funny or anything like that. He's just trying to stay away from a big bump. Anyway, so that's good. Hate to think bad things about people. Oh. Yeah, when it comes to Shayna, it's still rather sad. It's almost like a setup, and that's what upsets me the most about it. You know, I don't, you know, when people say, well, we have to respect people's feelings, and you go, well, no, I don't think we do. Especially if those feelings go into the realm of making other people's life miserable. You know, the whole thing about transgender people and their pronouns and them being militantly insistent and getting in your face if you don't want to say it, but I do, play along with it, and how much there is a social stigma, and it's not attached to them for being rude enough to say, I am going to make you dance a little jig in front of me to please me. I've always come from the whole thing of that you should leave other people alone. You know, you can go and you can preach to them and you can tell them that they need to, you know, that there's repentance available to them, that there's better things available to them to avoid punishment. It says, but do I force it on them? No, it's just there. You can say, well, I don't like to hear that. And you go, fine, don't listen. Don't, you know, you don't have to do a darn thing about it. Scroll through it, whatever. Everybody deserves to be in a zone that's completely of their choosing. That's part of the problem with social media, is that you can really, I guess, tailor it so that you only see what you want to see and you don't see anybody else. And that's really kind of unnatural. And that's what kind of, you know, when people say, well, it seems like young people are more narcissistic now, and you go, well, it's because they can be. It used to be they really couldn't be that way because other people wouldn't treat them well if they were. They wouldn't get the kind of attention that so many seem to seek. And that's part of what would kind of bring a person into line, at least on a larger social thing. You wouldn't be one of those weird people who would who felt like it was totally safe to attack others. But now with social media, you can be that way because you can tailor it so that the only thing you see and the only friends you're going to have are ones that pretty much that you don't have to, you know, you don't have to be decent. You can be around people that say, you're totally justified in what you're saying. You're totally justified in what you're doing. And we cheer you, yay. And so, boy, is that encouragement. You'll keep doing it, right? The social fabric of keeping everybody kind of on the same level, or at least trying to make it so that we all behave in at least socially acceptable ways, is gone now. And it's for better and for worse. There's some things that didn't get talked about that needed to be talked about, and there are other things that are now you get attacked for saying anything about it. And that's sad. That's sad because, you know, we're not finding a common place, a common ground from which all of us can live and work and get things done. Which is, as far as I'm aware of, necessary. And it's sad because, yeah, I said now my eldest daughter, Shana, she's so enamored by other things, completely different things, and she's found a convenient way not to have to talk to us at all, because we're hateful and terrible, and it's like, wow. These are the people that fed you all those years and taught you and with which you had fun. And you come back and talk to her and say, I never had a minute fun with them. It was always, I was always, you know, being worked over. I was always being abused and worked over. And it's like, wow. You go, okay, fine. You know, please don't come to me for any help, okay? Because I'm not going to listen to that. If you need help, you can come and ask, but you better ask nicely, and you better not push everything in my face about it. And we were generous. I don't even want to know about how many tens of thousands of dollars we helped her with.